Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland and Heartland Baptist.
Right now we're going through the book of John together as a church, so enjoy the podcast as we dive deep into God's word together.
All right, well let me welcome you again. If you are new to us or visiting us, great to have you here this morning. Thank you for joining us. If you're joining us online as well, great to have you here. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John chapter 18, and we're going to get there eventually. How about that? All right. I had a friend come to me on Monday and ask me a great question, and I've been wrestling with that question. It had to do with coming out of John 17 last Sunday and the previous three Sundays. Actually, we've been working our way through this prayer of Jesus that John, the apostle, captures in John 17. And last week, we talked about kind of this Jesus prayer for us. He prays for those who would hear the message through the disciples and come to this place of belief. And we discussed what Jesus prayed for us as followers of Jesus. And out of that conversation kind of came, I said a few times, and Jesus really praying for us that we would engage in kind of this deeper relationship with God, this intimate oneness relationship with God. And so, as I said, somebody came to me on Monday and was like, we need to talk a bit more about this intimate relationship. What does it look like to have a deeper relationship with God? What is this intimacy? What does it look like? How do we get there in our relationship with God? And it hit me as someone, listen, I will confess, I am not relationships and developing strong relationships is not a strong thing for me, right? It's not an area that I excel. And so, you know, when I was asked that question, I was like, that's a challenging question. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you feel you are in a deep, intimate relationship with your Creator God, or if that is a challenge for you, even how to describe what that looks like. Well, that's what I found. And so there was a big temptation to go, oh, we'll put that off and we'll talk about it later. Maybe we'll get Dennis to preach on that one in a few weeks. But, you know, I kind of decided, you know, I need to deal with it this morning. And I'm not coming to you saying I have it all figured out. And we are going to get to the beginning parts, Jesus' arrest, the beginning of John chapter 18. We are going to get there. But I just wanted to take a quick look, a few minutes of our time, just to talk about this aspect of intimacy. Not necessarily what it looks like. I don't know if we can describe what it looks like, but how do we kind of get there? And the best way that I could figure it out was, I think God has created us. He has made us to be in relationship. I believe that from the beginning in the garden, God created us to easily and by just naturally engage in intimate relationship with each other and with our Creator God. I believe that's how God created us, right? We'll talk more about this. Sin came in, right, and flips everything as it does with all of God's desires for us. It flips it upside down. And what was natural and easy for us becomes incredibly difficult. And I think for all of us, relationships can be something that is very difficult. Our relationship with God, but also our relationship with each other. And so I thought, what better way to kind of try and grasp a picture of how we engage in deeper relationship with the Father? Let's talk about how do we develop a deep relationship with other humans within our relationships, and to kind of use that as a picture to help us, hopefully, point us to how we then gain that deep relationship with God. One of the things I want to say to start with, I think one of the big tendencies that really hinders this conversation is that our worldview, the view of our world and our culture, has taken this word intimacy and made it all about sexuality. We have taken this word and used it to kind of describe the sexual act. Intimacy, especially in the context that we're going to talk about this morning, has really very little to do with outer behavior, outer acts, especially, if I can say it, the sexual act. And so I would just ask, as we engage in this conversation, be careful, be aware that this is a tendency that we have, and let's try not to bring the sexual side of things into this picture of an intimate relationship with God, okay? I just ask that because I know that's something that I wrestle with. I saw a commercial this morning, yesterday evening, I was watching TV and a commercial came up and it talked about intimacy and it pointed to the bedroom, right? That this is intimacy. And it's really not. When we really deeply consider what God is calling us to in an intimate, abiding relationship with Him. So let's talk about this quickly, right? What do our relationships look like? And I'm going to try and deal with this in different levels. And again, I'm scratching the surface, right? Very linear, very quick view of kind of relationships. I realize relationships are messy. There's all kinds of trails and other paths. Very linear, very quick, okay? Acquaintances. We meet someone. Say hi, we shake their hands. They look neat. There's kind of interest. There's attraction. Again, not in a physical way, but just a, hey, I think you're a cool person. I want to get to know you, right? We've all been here. We start to get to know that person. That knowledge tends to be very shallow. Who are you? Your work? Maybe some of your interests. Oh, you like to fish? Great, so do I. You cheer for the Oilers? I'm not talking to you. You know, things like that, right? You start to kind of, Michael, no. But you know, you develop these links, right? You start to get to know people, someone. You get to develop links. Maybe it's someone at work, maybe someone at church, maybe someone, your neighbors, whatever it may be. You start to get to know this person. And then you have the opportunity to spend time with them. Maybe it's just every Sunday morning, you see them at church. Maybe it's regularly at work, at school, whatever it may be. But you know what? For the most part, the relationship remains pretty shallow. There's no level of commitment. There's no really level of expectation. There's kind of this common we like each other. There's interest there, but we just keep things kind of on the upper levels, right? Do you kind of relate with that? Now, I'm going to make a statement. I don't know if it's true. Maybe it's just me. But I feel that probably 80, maybe 90% of our relationships are in the acquaintance level. We never get any deeper than just simply acquaintance. And can I say for many people in our world, and I'm going to say it, many people sitting in the pews of churches today, never get below the acquaintance level relationship with God. They know about Him. They might share some common likes or common interests. There might be some links there with God. I might like to get to know Him better. You might even come to church on a Sunday morning or kind of have time, maybe you read the Bible or pray occasionally, but that's about as deep as it goes, right? Can I take us to a second level? As we go on this journey of the relationship, I think there comes a time, and I'm going to bring out the word friend. There comes a time where the level of commitment takes a jump. There comes a point, I think, often in our relationships, whether it's conscious or unconscious, we kind of make this agreement or this commitment to step into a deeper relationship with someone. And maybe that falls in the area of friend or BFF, if you want to call them that, or partnership or whatever it may be, or marriage, right? These points of time in a relationship where we go, I am committing myself to you to go beyond just the surface. Now, what does that look like? We've already used this word commitment. I think there comes into a place in our relationships where we, again, consciously or unconsciously say, I'm committing myself to you. I'm committing more of my time. I'm committing to deeper communication. I am committing to loyalty, to this relationship. And I am committing myself to you on a deeper level than just simply the shallowness of acquaintanceship. And I think with that then, with that commitment comes this willingness or vulnerability, or hopefully comes. Now for many of us in our relationships, we never get to this place of vulnerability, of opening ourselves up, of honesty, of letting someone into who we really are, right? But this is what God desires with us, that we are known fully and that we know him fully. But it requires vulnerability. That removal of walls and barriers that I have placed up to protect myself, to keep myself safe, to guard my identity that I have developed about who I am, to keep me safe from the barbs and jabs of other people around me. If I want to engage in true friendship or deeper relationship, I have to allow myself to be vulnerable with someone else, to take down those walls and barriers that keep me separated or apart from someone. I have to remove those. And in that, I think, again, the third important step is then trust. Now, trust can be built throughout this process. It can be built as we're acquaintances. But there has to come a point where there is mutual trust in each other, in the other person. A willingness to say, you have proven yourself dependable, I trust in you. And I am going to prove myself trustworthy as well within this relationship. Now, where does this leave us? Is that the depth of a relationship? How do we find intimacy within this picture of relationship with each other and with God? Let me show you a couple pictures. I love pictures like this. And often we look at those and we might describe, there is a picture of intimacy. But is it? Is it? Is intimacy just simply the display of an elderly couple holding hands, as cute and sweet as it is? Is time what develops intimacy? That maybe this old elderly couple have been married for 60 years or whatever it is? Does that define intimacy? What is intimacy? How do we see intimacy in a relationship? What does it look like? And again, I think quite often in our world, in our culture, in our lives, our worldview, often we look to outer things, outer displays, whether it's acts of intimacy like holding hands or engaging in the sexual act, or acts of intimacy of behavior, of doing what the other person wants, or a false sense of submission to what they desire of us. But that is intimacy. And yet I think what we see in Scripture, as God gives us this picture of the intimacy that he desires with us, that it's not about the outer, as pretty much everything with God and his relationship with us is not about the outer. It's about that change of heart and of who we are, and that deeper connection that we have allowed, that we have developed through friendship with God, through engagement with God, that we develop this, I think, fruit of the journey of developing a relationship with God comes these three important things that God speaks about throughout Scripture. I believe I'm not just coming up with these things, but pictures of intimacy that God gives us in Scripture that he desires us to have. And one of them is faith. What is faith? If I can give it a simple definition, faith is trust put into action. I have come to develop a sense of trust in this person. Now I'm going to put it to the test. I'm going to test, are they faithful? Are they trustworthy? Are they, this trust that I have developed for them, I'm going to put it to the test. I'm going to put my faith in this person. Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water to Jesus was the step of faith. As little as it might be, Peter put his faith in Jesus. Trust put into action. Intimacy with our God, our Creator, is seen in our faith in him. Have we developed a trust in God, in his character, in his nature, in who he is, and are you stepping out in faith in regards to who God is. Independence and trust of that God that you have come to know, I now, the trust that I've built up, is going to be lived out in my faith. I believe this is intimacy. This is us demonstrating and revealing, putting into action by our faith, our intimate knowledge and trust of God, our Creator, and Jesus, our Savior. I think the second picture is love. And the Bible talks about love a lot. God has demonstrated and shown his love for us, but how we demonstrate and reveal our intimacy with God is loving him in return. That willingness, as Jesus puts it, to deny ourselves. My desires. Looking out for myself. Seeking what I want. I am going to put those things aside, God, because I have come to this place of belief and trust and faith in you. And so my love is going to demonstrate, reveal, that I am willing to put aside myself, my desires, that I might follow and walk with you in deeper relationship. Our love is this demonstration, this revelation of our intimacy with God. Not a false sense of love, but a love that is demonstrated and revealed through our action, a willingness to sacrifice for the sake of our relationship with God. Am I willing to put my desires for the things of this world, my desires for wealth and fame and popularity and all those things, I deny those desires so that I can live and walk with my Creator God and know the life that He has loved, He has provided for me. This is our love of Him. And it comes out of intimacy with God, an intimate knowledge of who He is and our trust and faith in Him. The third one. Now, as we look at this older couple, I want to ask the question. Wonder how similar they are in life. Wonder how much of imitation is seen in their relationship. I've been struck by this week as I was kind of reading about this. We talk a lot about faith and love in Christianity, and there is a lot of imitation. We are called throughout Scripture to imitate God, to imitate and grow into His character and nature. The very fruits of the Spirit are the character of God being developed and us imitating God. I love that picture, and I love to see it in my own relationship, in particular with my wife, of sameness of thought, of imitation of action. You know, there's times where Chris and I, we use the same expressions. We find ourselves copying each other in what we say. There's times where I hear something or somebody's like, hey, this happened. And I know what Chris is going to think about it. I know how she's going to respond. To me, that's a picture of intimacy, of that connection of life that we've come to this place of sharing, of imitating each other, of knowing each other's thoughts, knowing how each other is going to respond. There is this intimacy to that. And yes, it comes with time. And yes, often we see it in couples who've been together for 20 some odd, 30, 40 years, that we begin to imitate each other. But in our relationship with God, I think one of the, maybe it's even the easiest, one of the most direct ways, but I think often one of the ways that we so often don't think about is this call for us to imitate the Father. That true intimacy, a depth of our relationship with God, is not just seen in our outer behaviors, but it's reflected in our imitation of the very character and nature of who God is. That in us is seen the same love that the Father has, the same grace and compassion and mercy, the same desire for justice and for righteousness. This is reflected in my heart as well as I imitate the Father, that this is my intimacy or the picture of my intimacy with Him. It's not just how good I do at reading my Bible or that I spend an hour and a half in prayer, although that's a great thing. My real intimacy is when God is seen in me, as I imitate Him because He is the one who is worthy of imitation. Isn't that what Scripture says? There is no one like him. There is no one else worthy. There is no one else greater or more deserving of our imitation, of our belief, of our faith, because he is God. And a deeper relationship with him is when we see within ourselves our reality of now I am imitating the Father. I am living the nature and character of my Savior to the world around me. Can I say this is intimacy? It's not some great outer display of our Christianity. It's not some outer display as maybe our world sees it. But it's that development of that trust and that vulnerability and that commitment that leads us to that place where we become like him. That this is true, I believe, intimacy with our Father. And it fits in with what Jesus has been saying, remain in me. You have to remain in me. Because without me, you can do nothing, but with me, nothing is impossible. As you bear fruit, as you remain in me and I remain in you, and you bear the fruit of the character and the nature of the Father, as we learn to imitate him, this is real and true intimacy. I'll end with this and we'll move on. What time is it? Oh, I'm already long. Okay, really, really quick. Okay, really, really quick. We need to talk about some roadblocks, okay? Two roadblocks, one blessing. I'll fly through these. Again, human nature. Listen, I firmly believe that the realities of sin is that it flips everything up. God, I said at the beginning, God desires. God created us to be in this intimate relationship. It is possible for us to be in intimate relationship with each other. We are called to be one or in unity, in closeness together. We have to realize that our very sinful human natures fight with everything naturally that is within us now in our sin is against this vulnerability and this intimacy with each other. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that this is a hindrance, a roadblock to us being in intimate relationship with God and each other. Secondly, I've heard this and I've even expressed this. How can I grow to a close relationship with someone who I can't see face to face? I can't reach out and touch. I can't speak to eye to eye. And I hear that. I hear that concern. And yet what we're told is God has revealed himself to us more fully than anyone ever could. That through the pages of Scripture, through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the cross, that we can know God fully. That he holds nothing back from us. That everything is known and can be known. And so, yes, I recognize the difficulty of not being able to reach out and talk to and face-to-face with God. And yet how open and how much God has revealed about himself to us should be overwhelming. And then thirdly, the blessing. I tried to keep the mystery by saying we're halfway there. You know, this beauty of our relationship with God is that God has already in all of these things come halfway, or maybe even more than halfway. That God in his goodness, his faithfulness, his reaching, has come to us and shown all of these things, his commitment, his vulnerability, his love, and his faithfulness. He has revealed all of these things to us already. All of it. That God has taken the steps to be intimate with us, and now his call is reaching out his hand to us and says, come and engage in relationship with me. I'm here. I'm halfway there. Are you willing now to engage in the same way? To be vulnerable, to commit to me, to show yourself trustworthy, to demonstrate faith and love and imitation. Come to me. Because I have met you more than halfway. And God extends his hand to us. And this beautiful pursuit of God, beautiful pursuit of our Father God, seen through our Savior Jesus Christ, is seen in this passage in John 18. And in this passage, Jesus is arrested. Listen, can I read it? Is that okay? You give me a few more minutes. I love this because it shows us, it reveals to us this pursuit of the Father. His commitment to us And we'll talk about that. This journey, this desire of the Father to engage in intimate relationship with you, that we hear how much God has put into this, that what God has given up, what the Son gave up so that he could be in this relationship with you, the love that he has demonstrated for you, how he has pursued you, is so real in this passage. As part of this picture, this mosaic that God creates for us that leads to the cross, culminates in the cross and says, this is my love for you. This is my desire to be in relationship with you. And in this passage, we read this. When he had finished praying, John 18, verse 1, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. And again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, let these men go." This happened so that the word he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of these you gave me." And Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. "Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. As we talk about this journey of intimacy that God desires to have with us, this beautiful picture of what Jesus went through. And here within this picture of just of Jesus' arrest and his betrayal and this walk to his crucifixion, within it we see Jesus' courage. And I love that verse in verse 4, Jesus knowing all that was going to happen to him. Jesus knowing all that was going to happen to him went out. He went to them knowing the pain, the torture, the abuse, the ridicule, the rejection, the crucifixion that was about to take place. Jesus, knowing these things, out of his love, out of his desire to fulfill the Father's purpose and plan, went out to his captors, went out to his betrayer, gave himself up, knowing what was going to happen. This beautiful picture of Jesus Christ's willingness to sacrifice for us. Secondly, the compassion of Jesus. The compassion of Jesus for us, for his disciples. Twice within this passage, from 5 to 9, Jesus makes a point, I believe he makes the point, to say to them, "Who are you looking for? Who is it you want?" And twice they say, "We are here for Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he," Jesus says. "I am he. I am the one you're looking for." And Jesus makes the point in all of this and all the things that are going on. Imagine this. He makes the point of doing this so that they only arrest him. "I'm the only one you want here." And he says it. John records this. "This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. I have not lost one of those you gave me." That not one of his disciples would be taken and killed or whatever it may be before their time. Jesus said, "These are mine, and I'm going to do what it takes to protect them." And as we take that to you and I, we have that incredible promise that Jesus gives to us, "I will be with you always, and nobody can snatch you from my hands. You are mine. You belong to me. I have died for you. I have given up everything for you, and nothing can take you away from me. This is my passion, my love for you." And no one can take you away from me once you have become mine. Jesus' love for his disciples and Jesus' love for us. And thirdly, I'll end with this. The commitment of Jesus. At the end, in verse 11, verse 10, Simon Peter takes out his sword and he strikes off the right ear of a servant. Jesus commanded Peter, put your sword away. We're not doing this your way, Peter. I'm not here to lead a revolution. I'm not here to create my kingdom here on earth. I've come here for a different purpose. I've come here under a different will. And I am fully committed to seeing that purpose fulfilled. I am fully committed to following through on the plan of salvation that the Father, Heavenly Father, has put in place. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? And you know, in the Old Testament, this concept or this picture of the cup was very much a picture of suffering, of judgment, of punishment. The prophets often use this picture of God pouring out his wrath for the disobedience and the rebellion of the people of Israel and of the nations around them. They use this picture of God's wrath being poured out of this cup of judgment, of punishment. And I believe it is that same cup. Jesus not so much focused on the pain to come, but Jesus knowing the realities of taking my sin, your sin upon himself. That God's wrath against sin would be poured out against God the Son. That Jesus willingly, in his commitment to bring to you and I salvation and intimate relationship again with the Father, was willing to take my sin upon himself, to die in my place, your sin upon himself, to die in his place. God's judgment that I deserve, the wrath that you deserved. Jesus took that cup upon himself that the world may know the love of God and the plan of salvation that he has. And Jesus was fully committed, knowing what was about to happen. He committed himself to bringing that, fulfilling that plan of salvation. Brothers and sisters, this is God's display of his desire for a deeper relationship with you. God doesn't want to just be your acquaintance. God wants to be known, and he wants to know. God wants you to put your faith and your trust in him because he is a faithful God. He wants you in turn, in response to the love that he has shown you, to love him in return. And we are called to be imitators of Christ. And when we come to that place of knowing our Heavenly Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, to know him in such a way that we come to that place in our relationship that we can put these things into place, I believe that this is what it looks like to be an intimate relationship with the Father. You may examine your lives this morning and say, I don't know if I come even close. And I know I can personally agree with you. And yet Jesus has already won us the victory. And he extends the hand still to each one of us and says, take one step closer. Take one step closer today. Remove one more barrier. Open yourself up and be vulnerable and open with your Savior Jesus Christ, because he is worthy. Let me pray. Heavenly Father God, how amazing it is to be loved by God. To think of what you have given to us. Even in our rebellion and rejection, God, you have pursued us. You have loved us. You have not given up on us. That this is your love for us. A love that sacrificed. A love that gave up everything. A love that died. So that we might know new life. so that we might return to flip that sin nature up, to have victory over it, and flip it up to by being back to living how God desires for us to live, to being the people whom God desires and created us to be, that we might know the life that comes with living with our Savior Jesus in intimate relationship. God, my prayer for myself, may every day, may I grow in my imitation of you. That as Paul prayed, that when people see me, they would no longer see my selfishness and my desires, but God, they would see Jesus. May this be the prayer of our hearts, to walk in intimate relationship with our Father God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.